know, that's our concern.
I just want to be clear that the proposal that I've made is intended to make it clear and give advice to the commission that you cannot grant the exemption for hydrotreaters. We believe not only is it that policy, that it's not authorized by statute and constitution. And in trying to work out a compromise around this at the site, et cetera, we say, okay, let's take you out at the site and put in something that we think addresses the hydrotreater situation directly. I just wanted to be clear that that was what was intended. Though I think most of us probably saw that was our intent anyway.
Can I just clear something up real quick with the advisory committee role and the appeals that we have on hold right now? The committee they're advising on new matters of the Prop 2 program from 2009 on. All the appeals that are in-house right now and the issues around those are not going to be commented on by the committee. Those are going to be addressed with staff. So I just want to clear the air with that, so everybody would understand that. These are just examples. So
that's right, and we understand that, and we understand that the discussion about at the site grew out of a particular appeal. We can't speak on that one. That's going through its process, right? Understand that. But the issue was referred for comment or advice from the task force, from this group, am I right?
Right.
So we wanted to speak on that, and I felt this was an appropriate response to suggest something that provides some clarity. I think there's some other issues that have been raised that maybe this doesn't fulfill a gatekeeping function that the staff has seen a lot of value in.
And
finding some solution to that is, I don't have any problem with it.
And the language that is written, we'll go back, staff will go back and visit that and look at that and see if there's unintended consequences to that. Mm-hmm. Problems. It may work.
I don't know if staff wants to comment any more to that or you just want to chew on it for a while and get back to us. Or I would ask that we try to direct our discussion around it isn't eligible. I realize there's practical tax implications. We all know that. But we'll try to keep our discussion to is it eligible or what are we trying to put in policy?
Well, I still think that we need something that's at the site. I think it's a great gatekeeper. I think it, particularly because it's associated with a taxing jurisdiction. If they're going to be giving up the taxes, it ought to be in their jurisdiction. I mean, there's no legal requirement of that. That's just a general fairness thing. And since, come to think of it, y'all mentioned disposal wells. Disposal wells are already, as long as they're not commercial, are already exempt. I still don't see why we can't go ahead and have an at-the-site definition and a requirement. And it gets away. I find some of this language to be subject to the interpretation of the lawyer, which I rather dislike.
I want to remind the committee at this point we're an hour and a half into our agenda.
And we're on the first item.
It's a big item.
But we knew it'd be big.
It's a big item. And I just want to bring that to your attention. If you want to continue discussion on this, we can. Or we can have a motion to table it for the next next meeting. We can go forward. I'm fine if you want to continue to air this out.
I think we should continue somewhat, 15, 20 minutes at least.
Right. Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment?
Yes.
I think it's true we shouldn't single out any particular company or industry, but the argument that we heard can be a slippery slope. Let's take, for example, there's a new Toyota plant in San Antonio, relatively new. I think it's building tons of trucks. And I can guarantee you that the way those trucks are built is the result of a lot of stringent environmental regulation that was not in place at a Ford dealership 15 years before that. So by that argument, all the equipment that builds the Tundra truck ought to be eligible for Prop 2 exemption because it's building a product that's environmentally mandated to be lower polluting than the old product. So I feel very strongly that we have to. I'm confused now by the at the site stuff because I don't know that that well, but I'm convinced that we have to put language in here that clarifies that in products that are regulated by the EPA or other governments are not what are aimed at by the Prop 2 exemption. That's the key.
1131A addresses that.
Apparently not perfectly. So I keep thinking, you know, what Wayne's talking about, and I think back when we had MTBE as a mandate, and all the refiners put MTBE in, subsequently it was found not the right thing, but there was also MTBE in chemical plants, which weren't subject to a criteria at that time. Was there treatment? How was that treated in the past, you recall?
I don't recall. Staff probably does. That was in the early 90s.
Those were issued negative determination for that same reason. It's product improvement. It wasn't environmental control.
But what was the gatekeeping?
The equipment that added MTBE into the gasoline, that blast mixture equipment, we did get that. It was the equipment to make the MTBE and the tanks that stored it in it before. Because the pollution control was once it was associated with the gas.
But again, that meant the at the site type definition.
The at the site. That was
so that was still the gatekeeping function used.
Right. It wasn't just predates the flow chart, but that there's always been the gatekeeper there as we look at equations or applications that there has to be pollution control going on. And at the site become the way we looked at it. We've always used something general for that.
I think, Mike Nassif, Director, I think when the staff looks at Don's language here, there's a serious at-the-site component of that. I mean, it is relates to the production of good or service, okay? The problem, I'll reiterate it again, with at-the-site, and the real problem for me is the way the flowchart reads it is saying environmental benefit at the site. At minimum, I think we need to address what that means, because realizing environmental benefit, the real environmental benefit of an ozone standard is not realized at that site. Okay, so it's faulty language. It was a good mechanism. It's wrought with argument, I guess. And so the benefit of what Don's saying is, let's get to the heart of the statute, which is it relates to pollution control.
Or monitoring.
With the, yeah, absolutely, catch all. Associated with the production of a good or service. That's not the same production debate that also exists elsewhere. I don't want to use the two. This is a way to create a surrogate on the at the site that still indicates that we're talking about the equipment there.
In general, I like that, but let me ask you how you solve another question. Disposal wells that are non-commercial, how does that fit those? I just want to, whatever we do, I just want it to be inclusive of what we need to cover.
Disposal at the site?
Off-site
location.
Either off-site or on-site. I mean, a disposal well at a different site is...
you're not talking commercial.
I said other than commercial. It's owned by the facility.
Like a saltwater disposal
well. Saltwater disposal well for... a refinery or something. Would you please?
First of all, I think the staff's a lot better going through case-specific examples. That's why they have this job. How about that for deference? But I would say that if I were going to say no, it wouldn't be because it was not at the site, because I would have no basis in law to have made that determination.
Well, but I was just asking how what you said covered that example.
Well, I think that you'd have to run it through the filter of this language. Is it the length of the production of a product or service? I'd need to see what
it's a waste.
It's
If it's a waste stream from the production of a product or service, I think anything that relates to it, it's the chicken example, it's...
If you've got a refinery that's going to, let's get back to the carbon dioxide issue. If you're going to sequester, you don't have the geostructure where you have the refinery, but you've got the geostructure 200 miles away. It's obvious, I think it'd be obvious that if it is a refinery A and they own the pipeline and they own the hole in the ground that pumps it down, that should be entitled to an exemption, even though it's five counties over.
But it shouldn't be available in that county, it should be available in the county where it's located.
Well, sure. You can't take something off the road that's not there. It's located in the county where the hole is. And that's where you grant the exemption.
Minus the marketable product.
Well,
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, take a moment with that. For purposes of expediting the meeting today, I would make a suggestion to the committee and to the movers and seconders and to yourself, we consider, since you have vindicated that solving this in the 26th. Now, if you say, no, I really want to be involved with a vote on this, then maybe we need to put this off while we do some other things and come back later today, and I'm fine with that. I'm not trying to keep you out of any of the discussion. In fact, I probably want you there. But I was going to suggest that we, if we can, go to other business for whatever length of time we can, and give the staff some time to think through what they've seen. They did not have a chance to look at this before I walked in here this morning. And give them some time to think about unintended consequences, poor wording, stuff like that, that you might want to come back with and give us some comments on before we vote on this.
Okay. Tom, why don't you move to table my motion to the next meeting?
I do what he says I want to do.
Table my
motion. Well, I won't be here. I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion to table this proposed resolution until March 26th. Do I have a second?
You comfortable with March 26th? You want to try
that? I can't.
I may have mistaken it wrong. Do you want to? We can leave it open for later today.
Let's
just do that and see what we're
doing. Okay.
Just leave it open and we can bring it back either later today or on the 26th.
Okay.
How about I'll leave it open in a week?
Okay.
We have a motion to table this proposal for resolution for later consideration. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Can I say later, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Later.
It'll be later today. It'll
be later today or
in a week. All right. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you for that.
Now that we solved that one, what's next?
I would like to hear some compelling evidence, and I would like for staff, if you're prepared, to share with us through the compelling evidence standard, apparently. Give us a little bit of history. In other words, I can't just come in here with my opinion that I don't have a good reason for adding or deleting something on the ECL. So is someone prepared to give us a compelling evidence to comment? Any items? Because
y'all marked several in.
I'm talking compelling evidence, standard.
Yeah, again, it's not a standard the way you would think of, the beyond a reasonable doubt standard or
okay.
more than in Indica, it's persuasive. If you have persuasive evidence that something should be included or come off the list, then we're happy to we're happy to ask staff to hear that evidence and for you guys to discuss it and to evaluate those recommendations.
Okay. It occurred to me earlier, we're talking about flowcharts, by the way. It'd be interesting to see a flowchart of how, kind of like how a bill becomes law. How a rule goes through the process. That'd be an interesting thing to see as a reference.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question on the compelling evidence standard. It might be good for the committee to hear the statute in 2007 clearly created the magic words compelling evidence as it related to removing things from the list.
and the staff through R07 rulemaking process decided to make a parallel standard for adding things to the list. It might be good for the committee to hear why the staff chose to create that parallel standard, because the statute says you need compelling evidence to remove something from the list. It's silent as to adding things to the list.
And again, I think when it was added in by the legislature, it only applied to the K list. That's something that we brought over and then applied to the entirety of the ECL. But again, as you said, it's silent in the statute, and there's not a generally accepted definition of a compelling evidence standard, which is what I was trying to get at before.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, how about let's follow the agenda that we have here, and then we get to the staffs. In other words, let's get M15 and M16, if we can discuss that first.
Well, I assume all of y'all read the email I sent out with, had one of the appeals we had, and this is concerning the mud recycling systems and blowout preventers in drilling rigs. And, you know, the first rotary drilling rig was created in 1870. Of course, it was steam-powered. And it couldn't have been too long after that they started using fluids to bring cuttings up and having to separate the chips out of the fluid. Eventually, it was, how would you call it, basically mud, because for the viscosity to get rock chips out of the hole. And so this was standard production equipment when there were no pollution requirements. And if it was production equipment for all those years, my question, my concern is why is it all of a sudden pollution control equipment? I think it falls on its face is that this was production equipment and not pollution control equipment. A similar thing goes along with the part about blowout preventers. Blowout preventers were started installing them in 1922. First effective one was designed. And again, I don't think there was a pollution control regulation that forced the development of those. That was for safety reasons and to prevent the destruction of the rig itself. But yet, now, because, now somebody says, oh, it's pollution control equipment because it prevents, you know, oil from getting out on the ground, that now we give, need to give it 100% exemption. I have a problem with that, because for all these years, it was production and/or safety.